With every choice we make, we literally create a world. History branches in two, creating one Earth where we made the choice and a second where we didn't. That's the secret of the universe, you know. Billions of people making billions of choices, creating infinite Earths, and creating infinite podcasts about Batman. What better way to decide the best multiverse versions of Batman than creating this podcast, or not creating this podcast? Because it doesn't really matter. Geek History Lesson will happen either way, somewhere in the multiverse. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Earth 274-2212X5 Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University, because you have stumbled into the multiverse of this podcast, where we take one character, construct, or bat family from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour, except this week, because it's a list episode.
That's right. Today, we are going to tackle what are the best multiverse versions of Batman. And before we can get too deep into this, Ashley, will you please explain to our lovely, lovely listeners that I hope are from our Earth. They could be from other Earths. They could be people from other Earths in the multiverse listening to this. But can you please explain the DC multiverse to our listeners, just in case they don't know? I think the multiverse is pretty popular in the pop culture lexicon out there, but we can never assume, you know, someone's knowledge base.
So in DC Comics, as arguably in our world, depending on how into M theory you are, there are Earths, multiple Earths, more than one Earths. Usually you hear about Earth 2 and Earth 3, and they contain familiar but remixed versions of the DC universe. They're a holdover from the Golden and Silver Age when nobody really cared, and DC has since tried to organize them into a comprehensible fashion through a series of crises.
Yes, the easiest way to think about that is that there is, of course, the Golden Age Flash, Jay Garrick, who was later retconned to be from Earth 2. Mm-hmm. There is Barry Allen, the Silver Age Flash, you know, the star of the television show The Flash, who is said to later be from Earth 1, and so on and so on. And with each different choice and each different Earth, there's supposedly a different Flash or Batman or whatever. So we are out here and we decided it'd be really fun to talk about our favorite multiverse versions of Batman. So for this list, these were our rules. There can be no Batman from the main DC Earth. No Batman from Earth 1, Earth Prime, Earth 0, whatever. Mm-hmm. They keep changing the name of the main DC Earth. No Batman. No alternate Batmans from that same Earth. So there's no Azrael's. Mm-hmm. There's no Terry McGinnis's. Unless you pick Terry McGinnis from Earth 12, which is a different Terry
McGinnis.
There's
no Dick Grayson.
There's no Dick Grayson as Batman unless he's from Earth 3, mm-hmm, or something like that. So this is a list of Batman from other Earths. We are going to try to tell you which Earth in the DC multiverse they are from, unless I will say, Ashley, there was one that I could not find what Earth it was from.
I also have one where I cannot find what Earth they are from.
Yeah, sometimes the writers don't concretely say, hey, this guy is from XYZ, and because it doesn't matter for the story, honestly. But these are going to be the most interesting, the most multiversal, and we out there want to hear your list of your favorite multiverse Batman from across the multiverse. And Ashley, where can they do that on our social media?
You can do that at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at @GHLpodcast, or on Instagram at @geekhistorylesson. Seriously, reading people's lists is really fun, and it's really fun to see where our listeners' tastes lie. So please share your list with us.
Yeah. So we're going to dive deep into the multiverse and have a great conversation. But if you like this conversation and you need more, this week's Geek History Lesson Extra episode on Patreon is going to be about the strangest worlds in the DC multiverse. It's a lot like this episode, except we're going to curse. So head on over to patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N over there. You can get ad-free episodes of this podcast, and you can also join to get more podcasts like Jason and Jeremy John about the Justice League, where we review every single episode of the Justice League animated series. Over there, every single month, you get 4 bonus episodes of GH Extra. You get some Marvel Club episodes. You get 2 episodes of Justice Pod every month. Check it out at patreon.com/Jawin. And we want to thank all of our super friends that support us over there. All right. So let's get to the list. I wish I had a multiverse sound effect. I don't think I do. So this
it should be your Justice League sound effect.
Oh, that's going to be the sound effect? Okay, here we go. We're going to go into the multiverse, Ashley.
Okay. Ooh, that was fun.
All right. This, of course, is our favorite, not objective best.
Yeah.
I think that list would be impossible, especially when thinking about the multiverse.
Mm.
So this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. We're going to get a lot of weird Batman on this.
Yeah.
Some Batman that might not even be Bruce Wayne.
Most of mine are not.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. I'm already intrigued. Ashley, who is your number five favorite multiversal Batman?
Okay. So I really...
Multiverse Batman.
I really wanted to die on the hill of making my number five Lego Batman.
I would have allowed that.
But I already have another one that I think is a stretch.
Oh boy.
So
all right, buckle up here.
And I think I would be remiss. I think
typing those emails, everybody. geekhistorylesson@gmail.com.
Email us all you want. I think that this character, while maybe not my favorite, is arguably one of the most interesting alternate versions of Batman. So
not alternate. Multiversal. That's a different list that we probably will do later.
Yep. That I'm gonna get confused on this entire time.
Yep.
So I set Lego Batman aside.
Okay. Was it shrimp tartare? What did he do? Lobster tartare?
Lobster almondine.
Almondine, thank you.
Yeah. And I picked up Earth 23's Thomas Wayne Batman from the Flashpoint timeline.
Oh, good choice.
And it's because I think it is such a one awesome costume. He yes. looks so cool. It's one of the better Batman costumes. I like that it incorporates red mm-hmm. because one of the things that I love the most about the main Batman is the use of yellow in his costume, and all my favorite Batman costumes have a lot of yellow in it. So I like that Flashpoint is red. He's only one degree of separation away from being Bruce Wayne, but the difference between illustrating the loss and the character evolution from a father to a son, I think, is handled really deftly by Geoff Johns in Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite detail, of course, being that the Joker on Earth 23 is Martha Wayne.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a...
It's a shame they've never made this into a movie, because I think Thomas yeah. Wayne with Martha Wayne, it would be such a fun, a la Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. It'd be a fun movie.
Also because the classic Batman-Joker relationship is, upon which this is modeled, of course, is certainly an infatuation if it's not a romance, and you would really get to play that out in a very literal way mm-hmm. if that were the case. I just think Thomas Wayne, of all the multiversal Batman, is the most well-rounded, because unlike a lot of other characters I think we're going to talk about here today who get maybe an issue or a brief appearance here and there, Thomas Wayne gets a fully realized
yeah.
run and keeps being brought up because he is so freaking cool. Even in the cartoon adaptation, Thomas Wayne is really... And an integral part of the plot, of course, but a really, really interesting character.
Scrolling down my list here, Thomas Wayne, Flashpoint Batman has appeared more than any of the Batman on my list. You are correct. That is an interesting fact.
Well, because there's a lot of other characters that I think I like in theory, mm-hmm. but also what's interesting for me personally about including this character on my list is I don't super care for Flashpoint. It's mm-hmm. just not a storyline that really grabs my interest or pays off in a way that I find satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
So he is my favorite part of engaging with Flashpoint. We read it for the podcast a few years ago. I read it a couple times, and Thomas Wayne Batman is always the highlight. And I think for this spot, I wanted it to either be Thomas Wayne or Red Sun Batman.
I thought you said Lego Batman.
Again, but I thought that was a stretch. Mm. And I think Thomas Wayne is a better person than Red Sun Batman. So I'm going to say Thomas Wayne. If you've never read Flashpoint, read it for this. And if you're going to read Flashpoint and read any of the spinoffs, the Batman tie-in is actually one of the ones that's really worth your time. So Thomas Wayne Batman with an honorable mention, I guess, to Lego Batman is my number five.
Nice.
What is your number five best multiversal Batman? My Batman voice.
My multiversal Batman number five has a phrase that he loves to say, With signal green come darkest night, that superstitious, fearful might. Beware the creature of the night, the weird Avenger blazing bright. I am talking about Bat Lantern, the Bruce Wayne of Earth 32. Bruce Wayne, Bat Lantern, of course, was created by Mike W. Barr and Jerry Bingham. He first appeared in Batman in Darkest Night. However, later he was introduced in The Multiversity, number one, by Grant Morrison, and he later showed up in The Green Lantern by Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp. In this universe, Batman, Bruce Wayne, is chosen to be the Green Lantern of this universe. This brave Bat Lantern, he uses detective skills and his power ring to instill fear in the hearts of villains. He fights alongside his teammates called the Justice Titans, each which represent a combination of two familiar superheroes. There's Black Arrow, there's Wonder Hawk, there is Aqua Flash, and there, of course, is the Super Martian. Now, first off, I had to put this as my number five because I didn't get to read this story until probably the last, I would say, 10 years. But I'd always seen this cover in various things of other comic books or online or Wizard magazine. And the costume of Bat Lantern is badass. It is a weird yet cool combination of a Green Lantern ring symbol over the Bat costume. And it looks really good. And then also, there is his symbol is basically like the Green Lantern symbol combined with the Batman symbol. So like that look is really cool. There is also something to there are many storylines where Bruce Wayne Batman always ends up with the Green Lantern ring. Mm-hmm. And this is, to me, the start of it. It's very interesting to see, like, you know, Bruce Wayne has more willpower probably than most other superheroes in most other universes. So it's interesting to give him the most powerful ring in the universe. But also it goes to show you one of the reasons why Bruce Wayne should not have superpowers is that sometimes he'll go a little too far. He's get a little too vengeful. Batman likes to punch in heads a little bit too hard sometimes. And if you give him something that's like powered like a nuclear weapon, it's going to go wrong. But I'm going to be honest. The costume is what put it over for me.
Like, this, I mean, it would have to be because there's very little actual story with this character.
There's like three or four issues.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, you can't knock me down.
No, a lot of these only
appear in one issue.
Look, my next one, I think, might only appear in one issue. So,
but like, it's just an interesting idea. Of the Green Lantern combinations, this one's my favorite because there's lots of alternate storylines where what if Clark Kent got the Green Lantern ring? What if Wonder Woman got the Green Lantern ring? But I honestly think of the multiversal Green Lanterns, Bat Lantern is the most interesting. And a lot of that's his costume, but also I think it's because of Bruce Wayne. So that is why he is my numero cinco. Yes. All right, Ashley. Now it is time to get to our number four choice for the best multiverse Batman. All right, Ashley, let's dive into the brave and the bold of the universe. Who is your number four best multiverse version of Batman?
So, Jason, you actually have Oh, thank you. I was nervous. You actually have an action figure of this multiverse Batman. So I would...
Action figure spotlight.
Do you think you know which one it is?
No.
I'd love to give you some context
Batman
clues
Beyond?
And see if maybe you can figure out who it is.
Okay, please.
They first appeared in The Search for Ray Palmer, Superwoman / Batwoman number one in February of 2008.
The hunt for Ray Palmer, Superman, Batwoman number one.
Batwoman number one.
I don't know. I know the hunt for Ray Palmer, but I don't know the combination.
They were created by Grant Morrison and Jimmy Palmiotti.
Okay, that is not helpful.
It's the Batwoman of Earth 11. She got short black hair. You have the Superwoman action figure.
But I don't have this action figure.
Well, no, but you have her sister.
That was a stretch. I don't have this action figure at all. This is a false. This is a false action figure spotlight.
Is Dex Willerman going to call me and complain?
I mean, he might. You sold the audience a false bill of goods.
I did.
How was I ever supposed to guess this?
I don't know. I just thought you'd probably guess it from the title of the book.
I knew that I had a Superwoman action figure Earth, but like, that's not on this list.
So she's only appeared in three comics, and she has three different names in the three comics that she's appeared in.
This Batwoman.
Okay. She's Earth 11. Earth 11 is to be, it's a very lazy choice. It's the gender swap Earth.
Yeah, it's where everybody like has, it's like the entire Justice League are women except for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but what's fun about it is the designs are really good. Uh-huh. And they made a handful of very cool action figures based on these designs. So Batwoman is technically considered to be unidentified when she is first introduced, but she responds to both the name Helena and Catherine Kane at different points in two different issues that she appears in.
Okay.
And then more recently, a character named Jessica Chambers, who is apparently part of the Dark Multiverse, appears in this same costume. It's unclear if she's this Batwoman later on as a legacy character, but she's wearing something very similar to this costume.
Let's fix this right now. One is, this character probably appeared across multiple issues written by multiple writers.
Yes.
That's the first one. Second, we know DC Comics. DC Comics loves to do crises out the yin yang.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's introduced in Countdown Presents.
Yes.
So.
Before Final Crisis, which rewrites the multiverse.
Yes.
And then also the multiverse has been rewritten since then because of Flashpoint. So like every time the multiverse is rewritten, this person, this Batwoman in this Earth could have gotten a different name. Could have been a different person.
Yes, and I believe that all three of her appearances are in technically three different continuities.
There you
go. But this is the same thing like you were just talking about with Bat Lantern. Like this version of Batwoman has a great costume because she's basically just wearing Batman's black and gray costume. There are no super feminized embellishments. There's no real effort to make her look any more feminine other than the body shape.
I meant to say as well that the Bat Lantern that I talked about is technically two different versions as well. But since they're similar enough, everybody's like, yeah, they're the same character.
But I just thought that was interesting when I was doing my research on this character, that technically the alter ego is unknown.
What made you choose this version of Multiverse Batman?
The looks amazing.
Oh, okay.
And I like that, you know, in a very male-dominated genre.
Yeah.
It's like the gender swap is fun. I think this is one of the few multiversal versions of these characters that could actually merit its own title, and you could explore similar but really different and interesting themes with these characters.
Okay.
She is a character that I want to see more from. I like the choice to simply put her in the classic Batman outfit.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is they don't actually break down a lot of details about this character, shocker.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going to do your research, you know, when you're looking for things about maybe characters' personalities or their powers and things like that, particularly across the multiverse, all you get is like, presumably has the same powers as Batman. Like there's nothing. Whereas Kate Kane on Earth One, Batwoman, is very different from Batman. This version is just basically like Brucina Waynina. Like she's just Bruce
Wayne. Brucina Waynina.
But what if a lady?
All right.
But she's a real badass when she first appears. She looks really cool. She's a Grant Morrison and Jimmy Palmiotti character. Mm. And as such, I'm surprised we didn't get a wilder adventure or a zanier twist. And she's a character that I just keep always hoping we'll come back to. And if they're starting to touch on her in the Dark Multiverse, maybe there's a chance. So fingers crossed. I put her here for the costume. Earth 11's Batwoman. Maybe Kate Kane? Question mark? Who knows? Jason doesn't have an action figure for him. Sorry, but it's cool.
I don't have an action figure of this person. And I never will.
Ooh, drag.
False.
Drag.
Action figure spotlight.
Who's your number four? Is it false?
My number four, I wish I had an action figure of. I desperately wish I had an action figure of my number four. My number four, funny enough, I did not think I was going to be able to find what Earth they were from.
Mm.
But I found it out. I searched down. Ashley, my number four is from Earth 9602.
9602.
Now, you might say to yourself, hey, that sounds a little strange. I know, like, pre-crisis, just let you know, everybody know, in the universe, before Crisis on Infinite Earths in the 80s, DC basically had an unlimited an infinite amount of Earths. You know, they would have like Earth X, Earth S. They would do stuff like 38XA, besides Earth 2, Earth 3, Earth 4. After Crisis on Infinite Earths, they said there was only one Earth, no multiverse. Then after 52, they had 52 infinite Earths, and there were only 52, a little limited. Now we're kind of back into this world where like there's an infinite number again, and then there's now a dark multiverse, and it doesn't matter. And yeah, but you might be saying to yourself, hey, why is that number so high? The number is so high because Earth 9602 is a Marvel multiversal Earth from Marvel Comics. Dun, dun, dun. My number four is Dark Claw from the Amalgam Universe.
What's his musical theme?
Huh?
What's his musical theme?
Dark Claw.
Something extreme.
Snickish, 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 Dark Claw. Or it's like, what's Wolverine say? I did that song.
Yeah, yes, you did.
I did. Go Google it. It's on YouTube. What's Wolverine saying? Bub, 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 bub.
I'll find it. I'll share it.
Snick, snick. So Logan Wayne from the Amalgam Universe at the age of 5 witnessed his parents' murder at the hands of an armed robber. Logan Wayne was sent to live with his uncle in Alberta, Canada, and his uncle was a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. When they were ambushed and murdered, his uncle was, by poachers. He was soon put into an orphan, and he was put into the Weapon X program with the guy named Creed. It was in this program he got volunteered for the Super Soldier program, and Logan had adamantium bonded to his bones, and there he learned of his meta-mutant nature. See, in the Amalgam Universe, they're meta-mutants. Mm-hmm. The Weapon X program was terminated due to its dual failure, the fact that Logan was ineffectual as a weapon because he presented a conscious, and that Creed was too crazy. Creed eventually becomes the Joker in this universe. Later, when Logan comes back to New Gotham City, he decides to avenge his parents and his uncles by donning the costume in the name of Darkclaw, using his powers and his detective skills to thwart crime. He would later partner with his bestest girl wonder, Sparrow, and again make the arch enemy of Creed, who had become a laughing hyena. Now, Logan Wayne first appeared in Marvel vs. DC number 3 in April of 1996, but the first thing about Darkclaw to stand out, again, he's a mixture of Wolverine and Batman. His design is awesome. He looks cool. He's only appeared really technically in like 3 issues because they when they did the Amalgam Comics, during the Marvel vs. DC event, Marvel and DC sort of did these smashed where the characters got smashed together. And Darkclaw, of course, was the Batman and Wolverine version of the Amalgam. And they published a one-shot called Darkclaw. And they did a whole bunch of series. Now, Amalgam was so popular that a couple years later, they did a second issue around. And this time, they acted like there was an animated series in this universe. So they did Darkclaw Adventures. And it was like in the style of the Batman, the animated series. Mm-hmm. Darkclaw is one of these characters where, again, when you think about mixing Wolverine and Batman, it makes total sense. It's like they're two badass characters from each of their universes. But also, it's interesting because Logan Wayne, Darkclaw, is one of the best characters in the Amalgam Universe because he is sort of a perfect synthesis of these two characters. He is very samurai and Ronin-ish, but he's smart and he's very tactical like Bruce Wayne. And, you know, a lot of the other Amalgam characters either lean one way or the other a little bit too much. And I kind of think that Darkclaw is like one of the perfect ones. Again, if you were to ask anybody who their favorite Amalgam characters, I guarantee you most people will say Super Soldier, which is the mix of Superman and Captain America. Spider-Boy.
Spider-Boy is always the answer.
Which is, well, here's the secret. Spider-Boy is the best Amalgam.
Yeah.
Flat out. So make sure Superboy and Spider-Man. But then the third one they're going to say is Darkclaw. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say Darkclaw again because the costume is so amazing. I would kill for a Darkclaw action figure.
Never going to happen.
They'll never do it. I mean, I will say this. When the pandemic began in 2020 and comic book stores were going down and it looked like it kind of looked like the comic industry might go away. I'm glad it didn't, but it looked like it was going to go away. There was a scary bit of 4 or 5 months there. I said at the time, I said, the way they can save all these shops is to reprint Marvel versus DC or to do a brand new Amalgam event. Do a brand new Amalgam event, split the profits. Do the same characters or make brand new characters. But Darkclaw, to me, it would be impossible to talk about Batman from across the multiverse without talking about Darkclaw from the Amalgam Universe, which, again, I didn't know that the Marvel Universe actually had a classification, Earth 9602. So there you go. That is my number four.
Can I tell you something?
Sure, you can. Is you're going to tell me that I have an action figure Darkclaw, and even though I don't?
If you make an action, if you make custom action figures, you can email us, geekhistorylesson@gmail.com.
I'm going to have you make a Spider Boy first. I'm just going
to
say that.
Quote us your prices to make a Darkclaw. Darkclaw is my number one.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Darkclaw?
Sure, why not?
Why your number? Okay, Ashley, I'm going to put you on the spot right here. I know you're not a fan of the Amalgam Universe.
I'm not a fan of the Amalgam Universe. I just think a lot more of it is bad.
That's fair.
True. And Frank, it's 90s comics. So if you look at the way that the women are portrayed, it's borderline assaulty. It's not great. Mm-hmm. Bullets and bracelets, like hardest of passes.
Well, I didn't say bullets and bracelets.
I'm just saying, for example.
I believe that's the Wonder Woman.
Punisher. And
Punisher. That's mix up.
Awful.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm not saying anyone who worked on it's bad. It doesn't hold up to contemporary scrutiny. You know, because there's kind of two classifications of multiverse Batmans.
Yep.
There is different versions of Bruce Wayne or Bruce Wayne's fams. Those tend to be the ones that are a little more grounded and get a little more story behind them. I have one coming up on my list. I already talked about Thomas Wayne. I mentioned Red Sun Batman. So there's kind of those more serious grounded ones that actually have a story purpose, even if they're not appearing in a lot of issues. And then there's the wild cards. And Darkclaw is a wild card. Mm-hmm. It's just this idea that is so of the time and so perfectly executed aesthetically and narratively for, like, it is such a perfect distillation of that. Mask for mask, almost like hyper aggro 90s comics.
I also will say that Darkclaw, the first issue with him, and then Darkclaw Adventures, the second issue with him, are probably in the top five of the best Amalgam comics.
Yes, both, and that's an issue. Yeah. That's an episode list that we throw around doing.
Well, we'd have to just be like, here's an episode about Amalgam.
Yeah.
And then it would be fun to do a book club of it.
Yeah.
But it would be hard because they're so out of print.
They are.
I luckily have the trades.
There you go. But Darkclaw is like a perfect distillation of the time when he was created. He's a perfect distillation of the concept. He takes two of, when I was a kid, what I thought were the coolest characters, and really uses both of the coolest aspects about them, which is Bruce Wayne's like hyper intelligence, and then James Logan Howlett's claws
and like his claws.
And his brutality, right? And they're driven in the same way. They have the same type of like familial loss and that filial duty and sense of trying to be more. Like it's such a perfect execution of a concept. Mm. And as I was looking at various other lists of multiverse Batmans and other people's rankings of them, if there was any character that I wanted to see more of, or I wanted to own an action figure of, or
it's Darkclaw.
It's Darkclaw. Like every time, like Darkclaw came to
Darkclaw is a good name too.
It's a great name, but I also think maybe because it's the most unlike a classic Batman, that is why he resonates so much. He also goes the furthest afield from just Bruce Wayne, parents died at a different time. On a different earth.
It's almost, you know? In a lot of ways, Darkclaw is very much like, it's just Wolverine in a Batman costume.
In a lot of ways. Because the
Darkclaw has a like plane, and they have a Batmobile, and they have a Robin, and all that other stuff.
Also, Sparrow's cool.
Yep, Sparrow's Jubilee and Robin.
And Sparrow's a great name, and it was one of the first like female versions of a Robin that I'd ever seen. So like, I also just really think Sparrow is very cool.
I'm surprised an Amalgam character was your number one.
I don't hate Amalgam.
I don't know. I think you do.
I don't even hate it as a concept. I just don't care for some of the characters. So Darkclaw is actually my number one.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
I was wondering when we were going to get to a crossover.
All right, cool. I was surprised. I actually didn't think we'd have a crossover.
Oh, really? There's two more that I'm like, maybe.
Well, we'll find out. All right, Ashley, then let's find out. Your number three.
My number three is a Bruce Wayne with a very similar origin story on a different Earth. It is Batman Earth 1, Bruce Wayne. Batman Earth 1, Batman. Earth 1, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
The Jeff Johns.
But not the Earth 1 that we mentioned earlier. The
standalone graphic novel by Jeff Johns and Earth drawn one, by yeah. Gary Frank that is called Batman : Earth 1.
There's sort of...
There are three volumes.
It's sort of DC's Ultimate Universe almost.
You know, I really liked the Earth 1s. They seem to have burned themselves out despite the fact that like three or four of them have been solicited.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a couple that have been on pre-order for literal years.
Well, we do have... We have a Superman trilogy, we have a Wonder Woman trilogy, and we have a Batman trilogy.
No, we have a Wonder Woman duology right now. The third one has been solicited.
I thought it came out. Am I wrong about that?
I'm sure there is only two. Sure.
And then we have two Green Lanterns, and we have a couple Teen Titans.
And we have two Titans.
But explain what the Earth One concept is, or what the Earth One version of Batman is.
Yes, so Earth One was an imprint, and it was designed to, much like the Ultimates, as Jason alluded to, kind of give you a distilled origin of a character for a post-2000s, post-Xbox
generation. And they're publishing graphic novels first.
Yeah, it's almost like that's how comics should be published.
I agree.
A la European, Coom Japanese model. And it's just a really... There's really nothing reinventing the wheel here. There is nothing really new under this sun. What I like about Earth One Batman of these graphic novels is the distillation and the whittling down of the storytelling. It is a super, super clean Batman origin, to the point where it's lifted pretty heavily in almost every adaptation from the time that this book was originally published.
Actually, not really. The one that pulls from it the most is Robert Pattinson's The Batman. The line, "I am vengeance," comes from Batman Earth One.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Penguin's lines come from Batman Earth One. The
Batman, the animated series, was very Earth One inspired, down to the Alfred.
No, you're getting that confused with that is Beyond the Batman.
Right.
That is Beware
the Batman. I apologize.
Yes. But if you read Batman Earth One, you will see that the Batman was heavily inspired by Batman Earth One.
Exactly. And it's my favorite reimagining, and arguably one of the only reimaginings of Alfred post like 1980.
Mm-hmm.
This imagines what if Alfred was James Bond, basically.
He's Sean Connery in a lot of ways.
Yes. And it has gone on to inspire Gotham's Alfred and then the Pennyworth Alfred leading his own series right now. I think if you have someone in your life, or maybe you are this person, if you're like fairly new to the idea of comic books or the idea of taking Batman from any on-screen adaptation, this is such a clean, perfect distillation of what an excellent Batman story is. Unfortunately, you're going to read a lot of bad Batman stories going forward from this point. You're going to see a lot of contemporary things post-2012 borrowing from this on the page, but I think it is the cleanest version of a Batman origin that we ever had. I've read the full series through twice. Every time I read Batman Earth One, it's a good time, and I wish they'd lifted more from this and just put it right in the main continuity, but then it would have gotten just as muddled as everything else, which is what's great about an Elseworlds versus the main continuity. And lots of blue in the
costume. This is not technically an Elseworlds, but yeah, I understand your point.
It's not an Elseworlds, but what else do you categorize it as?
I don't know.
Like, broadly, it's an Elseworlds.
That's right.
Right.
Basically, if it's not in the main DC universe, it's the Elseworlds.
It has to be an Elseworlds. Yeah. So my number three is Batman : Earth One from the graphic novel Batman Earth One, which I feel like I have to preface that way because Batman Earth One's also the main continuity Batman.
Got it.
But he's also Bruce Wayne. Jason, who is your number three? I think it's good for this. It's good to infect.
My number three is a multiversal Batman called Bruce Wayne. I could not find the Earth, but Ashley, let me ask you, do you know about a universe called First Wave?
No, I don't.
First Wave was an initiative by DC Comics that was late 2000s. It kind of ended like around 2012, but there was a time when DC Comics had the rights to Doc Savage, the Spirit, the Shadow, all of like the pulp 30s characters, And they kind of put them on their own Earth, mm-hmm. and they made their own line. And then they stuck a version of Batman in there. Now,
because why not?
He's not called Batman. It's just Bruce Wayne who wears a Batman costume.
That's interesting. I mean, Doc Savage is just Doc Savage.
Yes. And he first appeared in Batman, the Doc Savage special number one in January of 2010. Basically, this is a universe that is kind of set in the 30s. It is golden age. It is like an intentional stew of Tommy guns, jet planes, dirigibles, Ferraris, walkie-talkies, and lots of hot air balloons. It is golden age goodness at its best. And the Bruce Wayne basically is the same way. His parents were killed by a criminal, and he's driven by this need to understand what happened. And his search led him all across the world to training and to picking up and wearing a Batman costume. Now, this is a very pulp. It is a very noir universe. One of the biggest difference here is that this Batman uses guns like the classic Golden Age Batman. To give you some other differences, like Blackhawks in this, the Blackhawks are also characters in this. They are mercenaries. But there was a time, again, they published like all of these characters, but they were like, it was called like First Wave Batman, First Wave Dr. Savage, First Wave the Spirit, First Wave the Shadow. And it's really interesting because this is sort of, I know I'm going to say this term and it's not going to make a lot of sense, but this is exactly who this character is. First Wave Batman is angrier than normal Batman.
In the way that book James Bond is meaner than on-screen James Bond?
Yes.
Okay.
This is, yes, and that's a great way to say it. This Batman is very much like Sean Connery in the early Bond movies. Mm-hmm. He has no time for anybody. He doesn't even have time for Doc Savage.
Oh, so he's basically what mainstream Batman is right now.
Yes, but amped up to 11.
Sure.
And it's funny because Doc Savage spends a lot of this universe basically giving Bruce Wayne crap for wearing a stupid costume.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he's like, why do you need that stupid costume?
Cause it's stupid. Yeah. Cool.
But again, he's not, as far as the ones I read, he's not ever really technically called Batman in this, which I kind of really like.
Yeah.
But this is like, yeah, this is basically First Wave Batman. It's such an interesting universe. I totally understand why it doesn't work, because pulp characters don't really work in our modern contextual ways anymore. But like, I just like First Wave Batman because he's angry. He's got a car. He doesn't have a Batmobile. He has a car, and he wears purple gloves, and he's got to punch you in the face because he's pissed that you blew up his dirigible.
Golden Age Batman also just has a car.
Yeah.
Like a regular, degular car.
I know. It's like a Studebaker.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So First Wave Batman.
Well, maybe a Rolls Royce.
I don't know. First Wave Batman is my number three. So there you go.
Great.
Ashley, we are going to dive deeper into the multiverse right now with our number two choices. All right, Ashley, we already know your number one, but we need to know who is your number two best multiverse version of the Batman.
My number two Batman, I don't know what earth he's on. And I'm also pretty sure his name is just Batman. I don't think they ever call him Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
He is created and executed by a pretty incredible creator named Jiro Kuwata. And this is Batmanga Batman.
Batmanga Batman.
Batmanga Batman is high key excellent. All Have you ever read any Batmanga?
A little bit of it. It's kind of fun.
It's so good.
I believe there's a villain from Batmanga that like Grant Morrison like put into mainstream continuity because he thought it was cool.
That wouldn't surprise me. Batmanga is very heavily inspired by Adam West's Batman. Mm-hmm. So it is lighthearted in that sense. The costume very much reflects Adam West's kind of I don't know, neoprene suit, whatever that was made out of. It doesn't look like body armor in any way, shape, or form, the way you think of a classic Batman suit. What I love about the Batman in this universe is that he's not the best at his job. Mm-hmm. He is not, you know how every superhero ever has a genius level intellect?
Sure.
Batmanga Batman does not.
Oh, okay.
No. What's really interesting about Kuwata's storytelling is that they really up the stakes in increasingly interesting ways. And it's usually like, first they're tied to a stick, then the stick is actually a mechanic that raises them in the air, and then the floor comes out and there's a tank of sharks beneath them, and then the sharks haven't been fed for 12 days and so they're starving, and then the rope is on fire. Like, there is always increasing stakes, and things get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And usually Robin is put in increasingly more danger, and to the point where Batman has to come up with a really ingenious MacGyver-esque solution in order to save the day.
Is it weird that during all of this, Ashley, I just feel like we need some sort of adventure music in the background? So I have a royalty-free piece of music here, and we're going to see if this works. Just keep telling us about Batman, and we're going to see if this works.
Okay. And this is created during, this is wild, during the late Silver Age.
I don't think that one works.
I don't think so.
We're going to go to the next one. Here we go. Let's try this one.
I think this is better. If you're looking for sort of a contemporary comparison, like I said, this is late Silver Age, early Bronze Age. So this is really different to have Batman, one, not be perfect the whole time, especially if you think about him in his sort of beginning of the Justice League era, where he's always perfect and he's in charge and he's the leader and he's Superman's best friend. He's really, really fallible. And we're actually getting some really early reflections for this character on, like, what does it mean to have dead parents in a way that, like, Western comics were not reflecting on at the time. And the story is so popular and so valuable that they finally collected and printed them all in 2014. And they've, like, enjoyed a huge popularity since being reintroduced. But I really think if you know a lot about Batman, that the Batmanga version of this character is really refreshing. It's lighthearted, it's updated, and it's such an interesting mashup of Eastern and Western storytelling. There's almost exclusively original villains here. So if you like anything about anime and you want to watch Batman fight like a shoujo villain, this is the collection for you. This is the earth you want to be living on. And considering this is incredibly dated for comics, and considering this is translated into a different language if you're reading it in English, it is so much more readable than a lot of other comic books from this era. And again, when I was sort of thinking about which other Batman, now this Batman of all the Batmans I've listed has the most stories. Jiro Kawada doesn't get enough credit for, like, how much Batman he wrote and drew over the years. But yeah, it's just Batmanga. Batmanga should be a movie.
It should be a musical. Be a great anime.
Like,
movie.
I think
I don't know how it would be a musical.
I think it's rife for continued stories and adaptations, and I would love to see, like, make Henry Golding Batmanga Batman. Give me more stories in the world. I'm 100% in. Also, admittedly, I didn't think he'd make it onto your list. I thought he might be a stretch because he's not officially on another DC Earth, but there's a bunch of those Earths that we don't know what's there.
I would count him as a multiversal Batman.
Thank you.
That's interesting. I wouldn't even consider him in this list.
He's so cool.
He's a great choice.
And he's cute. He's a cutie.
All right, cool.
So there you go. That's my number two. Jason, what is your number two? Multiversal Batman, then number one, because you beat me to the punch on my number one with Darkclaw.
My number two is from an Earth called Earth 3, which, if you know, Earth 3 is the evil Earth.
Serial killer Earth.
Yes, every hero wants to snap your neck. My number two is Owlman.
Ugh, I hate Owlman.
He's another unique version. Owlman is Batman's counterpart from Earth 3 that is the home to the Crime Syndicate, an organization of supervillains who use their powers to rule their world through fear. Owlman is actually Thomas Wayne Jr. He has the same basic skills, abilities, and sharp intellect as Batman, but he completely lacks any morals or reason, and he loves to kill, he loves to injure innocent people, and he's secretly having an affair with Superwoman behind Ultraman's back, which also is skeevy as hell. There is, you know, Owlman is, and I think I like the post-crisis version of Owlman the best, where he, like, sort of has armor and he, like, you know, it's very cowly and stuff like that. And I actually think the thing that made me really love Owlman was a movie written by the late, great Dwayne McDuffie called Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths. where the crime syndicate comes and invades Justice League.
He's the villain of that piece.
He is, and he's played by James Woods, real life villain.
Who does admittedly give a very good performance.
He does a really good job. And in fact, the opening of this podcast is his speech from that movie. And it's interesting because like in that movie, he does become the ultimate villain because there's a certain point where he's like, just blow up the entire multiverse because it doesn't matter because there's some other Earth out there where I don't blow up the multiverse.
Which, you know, what's hilarious. That is high key a thing that Batman would do and say in like any universe. It's such a Batman thing. I mentioned at the top that I didn't really like Owlman, but Owlman is of all of the characters that I think we've discussed so far, one of the most fully formed, unique like individuals.
I also think that Owlman is the most interesting version of evil Batman. Now, I know a lot of people out there are screaming, what about the man who laughs? Yeah, sure. But mixing the Joker with Batman is not interesting to me. But thinking through the character arcs of what turned basically Bruce Wayne despicable. Because this guy is despicable. Again, it is a main character motive of this character that he is literally going to cheat with the wife of his best friend right behind his back. And in fact, he gets her pregnant too.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Owlman is, like I said, he is pretty.
He's a piece of work.
He is a piece of work. And he's not, he is just a dude. He's just a normal man. And to me, that makes him even more evil than any supernatural, multiversal people out there.
Right, because it's a cliche that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, I know the crime syndicate is, you know, it's an acquired taste. But Owlman, to me, this would not be a good Batman multiversal list without Owlman for me.
Interesting.
So that is my number two.
All right, sound effect one more time. Jason, what's your number one multiverse Batman?
My number one is named Batman.
Whoa, mind blown.
Yeah, but this Batman appeared in November of 1993. He's only appeared once. I'll tell you a little bit about him, Ashley.
Okay.
You see, this Batman, his rocket crash landed on Earth, and he was found by Thomas and Martha Wayne, who took him in and raised him as own. Several years later, the Wayne family was tragically assaulted outside of a theater by a criminal who coldly shot Bruce's parents to death because, you know, he's named Bruce Wayne. And Bruce Wayne at this moment unknowingly awakened his alien powers and burned the thief alive with his heat vision. One night later, Bruce's mansion was attacked by a group of mass burglars. And during this, he used his overhuman strength to defend himself and save his home. And then he suddenly remembered the tragic night years ago. And he was like, oh, my God, if I'd only known how to use these powers, I could have saved my family. Alfred eventually decided to show him the truth about his origin, showed him the hidden spaceship, and Bruce finally accepted his identity as an alien and decided to use his abilities to do something about all the madness in his city, becoming the Batman.
I think it's really interesting that you said his overhuman power.
This is Batman from Speeding Bullets. This is from a story called Superman Speeding Bullets. This is a story where a very famous cover that is...
I think you told me about this on the podcast in the early days.
Maybe. A very famous cover where it's the image, the border is the very famous Superman ship. And in the circle, it is Batman, but it is Superman in a Batman costume doing that pose. Now, here's the thing. He has a badass Batman costume.
Yeah,
it is. It is like Batman's costume, but he has a full face mask, so you can't see his face at all. The bat symbol is in the Superman shield, and then his boots and his gauntlets have like these stripes on them. And Ashley, not only this, unlike your earlier segment, we are really going to do an action figure spotlight. McFarlane Toys recently made an action figure of Superman speeding bullets Batman, and it looks really good.
Do you have it?
I don't. I actually think I sent you.
Do you want to have it?
Yes, I do. Okay. I recently sent it to you. I do want it. So you know,
will you put it with your Superman collection?
Yeah, because he's technically a Superman.
Wow, what a trip! I can't wait to do best multiversal Superman and have you put him on the list.
Well, here's
you can request that at geekhistorylesson@gmail.com.
Here's the thing. You know, Bruce Wayne, Kal-El. But he's never called Kal-El in the story.
Yeah.
He starts to start running his company, Wayne Enterprises. Eventually, he buys Gotham City's most prominent newspaper, the Gotham Gazette. During his time at the Gazette, he hired the best people from across the country, meaning that he hired editor Perry White to edit the Gotham Gazette, and he hired a star reporter named Lois Lane to work at the Gotham Gazette. He formed a relationship with her. She was fascinated with Batman until one night the Batman saved her and she saw him as a dangerous and psychopathic animal.
She's not wrong.
Yep. And it's through the course of the storyline, through Lois, that Speeding Bullets Batman eventually becomes Speeding Bullets Superman. But the costume is awesome. That cover is awesome. And the reason why I love this is because this is the perfect twist of a multiverse. It's just so neat to see Superman, but he's named Bruce Wayne.
She says, well, here it's an S.
Yeah. Well, here it's a bat. A my earth it means hope. A my earth bats mean hope.
That's stupid.
So there you go. Speeding Bullets Batman. They have made an action figure of you. Yes, I do want this action figure,
great.
Ashley.
Noted.
Please tweet it, Ashley, every single day until she gives it to me. It's in stores right now. I believe it's like $19.99 on Amazon.
4 months until the winter holidays.
Yes, but tweet at her every single day. Ashley, what's your Twitter?
Look, if you're going to tweet at me every single day, you got to follow me. You owe me that.
Yeah, you must follow her.
At Ashley B. Robinson.
But I expect you to tweet her every day until Ashley gives me this action figure.
Fine, but if you follow me, I won't block you or meet you.
Hashtag.
If you don't follow me, I will block you.
Hashtag Speeding Bullets Watch. Ashley, please write that down. Hashtag Speeding Bullets Watch.
We will not share that.
We are starting this right now. We're going to see how many days from the publishing of this episode that I am blacklisting Ashley, blackmailing Ashley into giving me this action figure. So there you go. That's my number one. You've heard of Speeding Bullets, Batman?
Yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's our list, everybody. What did you think of them?
Do you have any also rants? I almost put the Dark Knights of Steel Batman on here.
That's a good choice.
But the story's not wrapped up yet.
I thought about putting the Justice Riders Batman on here, the Cowboy Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like him quite a bit.
I thought about Red Sun Batman, but I feel like when you're not, 14, mm-hmm. the appeal of that character drops off more and more each year.
I also considered Kingdom Come Batman, but he's basically just Bruce Wayne with armor on.
I also considered Kingdom Come, but you're doing it for the look, which we already picked a couple of characters for their look. But
I mean, I know I picked a Batman on here that just basically has a gun, but
I also picked one that's just straight up Bruce Wayne, is Earth One Batman. Yeah,
but I wanted to really lean to the weirdness of the multiverse.
Yeah.
So yeah, and if you guys would like to hear best alternate Batmans, just suggest that at GHL Podcast on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the recommended reading.
Yeah, I'm going to take one story from each of these characters and I'm going to share them. So if you go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, we get these great little widgets. You can buy them and read them in your format of choice. A little bit of money comes back here so we can keep percolating on lists for you and reading all of these favorite Batman stories and buying these super bat action figures. But mm-hmm. There'll be one, what we think is the best story to illustrate who each of these characters are. And some of those will be collections. Some of those will be single issues.
And some of these will only have one choice. Yep, that's all there
that's
is.
That's right.
All right, let's get to the honor roll, where if you go over to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star review, we read your review live on the air because you did us a solid. Ashley, who is joining the honor roll this week?
We have two heroes joining us today, and the first is Matt Tween, who says, hard to beat this dynamic duo. Hey guys, I came across your podcast a year ago and I've enjoyed every minute. The depth of comic lore y'all share is amazing. Where else could I find out how many times Charles Xavier lost loss and gained his ability to walk. I enjoy your witty banter, and my local comic shop really appreciates all the recommended reading you provide. Hoping someday you'll do a deep dive into my favorite character, Legion. Ever since the TV show came out a few years ago, I've gone back and started reading some of the Marvel issues he appeared in, mostly the New Mutants series. Although the TV show took a different approach to telling David's stories in a wacky, creative way, I've been always fascinated with just how powerful and unique he is. Who doesn't like having multiple personalities? Am I right? Who said that? I did. Oh, well, keep up the great work. And Matt Tween is also joined by Vaughn's Island, who says, big geek onto small. Ooh, Jason read that one last week. Just kidding. Hey, Vaughn's Island, special shout out. Welcome to being like a junior TA this week.
This is Vaughn's from Bermuda again.
It is.
Ashley.
I crushed it.
Am I dealing with the Ashley from Earth 4 today?
I'm going to say probably Earth 3. This is my villain turn.
Yeah. You're faking action figure spotlights. Pulling other honor rolls. I think you're the Ashley from Earth 3.
Well, now I flip the podcast table and storm out.
Well, who was our first person again?
Matt Tween.
Matt Tween, welcome into the Teacher's Lounge of the Mind University of GHL. There's a bulletproof vest in the corner. It's also stab-proof. I would not go in there during third period. That's when Ashley from Earth 3 has her break. So
just reading bullets and bracelets.
Yep. Speeding bullets and speeding bracelets, baby. All right. If you want to leave us a review, go over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. You can write anything you want. And as thanks, we will read your review on the air. Don't forget to subscribe and listen to us wherever you find podcasts. And if you really enjoyed this episode about the multiversal Batman, please tell your friends. It's the best way that we get great new listeners into the Mind University. Ashley, if they want to follow this podcast on social media, where can they do that?
You can do that at geekhistorylesson.com. Especially if you add a /blog there, you get to see all the extra content we put out every Thursday. You can do that at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at GHL Podcast because they have character restrictions, and on Instagram at geekhistorylesson because they don't have character restrictions.
You can follow Ashley on Instagram and Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. And now we are to... Hold on.
Stick around.
Yeah.
Wonderful sound effect from Pedro there. We're still looking for more sound effects. The contest, hashtag stick around contest, is still going.
But right now, Pedro is running away with this
Pedro
contest.
Pedro is winning by a far margin. Okay. Ashley.
Yes.
We're talking about these multiversal Batmans.
Yes.
If you were to give, let's say a 12-issue miniseries to any of these Batmans that I named or you named, who would you give it to? And, or I guess, who do you think would be the best one to give it to? To give a good, solid, like, graphic novel 12-issue run?
Oh, that's hard. Some of these characters have had graphic novels.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I'm super inclined to say Bat Manga, even though he probably has page for page more story than any other character, because I would love to see a new creative team. He's only ever been written and drawn by the same artist. Mm-hmm. And I would really love to see what a contemporary creative team with probably stronger editorial input from DC Comics would do with that character. But also, like, Darkclaw would be so sick!
Yeah.
How cool would it be?
That was far and away going to be my number one choice. It's dark. To get, like, 12 issues of Darkclaw, I think, would be fantastic.
I mean, DC Marvel, here's a free idea. Why don't you do it?
Donate it all to charity.
Have co-editors and donate it to the Hero Initiative.
Donate it all to charity. Yeah.
And then you can do a hardback special edition with some pinups in it. There you go. Free idea.
Make it super limited.
Yep.
Get Jim Lee to draw all the covers because he's drawn X-Men and Batman. It would sell like gangbusters, and it would do a lot of good. And all the fans would love it.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. I'm looking at you.
What would Dark Claw's Riddler villain be? So, okay, you got the Riddler.
They have a Riddler. It's the Sabretooth character.
No, Sabretooth is the Joker character.
Oh, sorry.
Who is Hyena.
Sorry.
And they might already be in there because I know that they have a like race all apocalypse is like is a, but I don't know if they have a Riddler, but like who would be the Riddler? Who would you combine in the X-Men with Riddler?
I would make it Jean Grey. I would make it a lady.
Jean Grey.
Yeah, because she has mind control powers.
Okay, so what would you call that character?
Paradox.
Paradox. All right.
I don't know. All right. I don't know.
The Questioner.
Sure. I mean, you could put her in like the suit and the cane. And she could do, like, the riddles could be tied to mind control in some way. That's, like, the off-the-top-of-my-head pitch. Mm. Yeah. And then we can introduce his best friend, Kurt. Nightwing.
So.
Kurt Wagner, the Incredible Nightwing.
Kurt Wagner. You mean
in a blue costume.
No, it'd be Kurt Grayson.
The Incredible Nightwing.
The Incredible Nightwing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In a blue, like a white guy in a, or whatever, any color guy. Not a blue guy, but a guy in a blue costume.
Well, no. So he's blue and his, it would be just like Nightcrawler, but like the V is blue like Nightwing.
But that's blue on blue.
Okay. No, you give him the yellow, like the disco wing.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's fine.
But still the Nightcrawler V.
But with like the yellow eyes and the blue skin. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Kurt Wagner, the Incredible Nightwing.
There you go.
No, I like that. Thank you. That's good. Dark Claw. All right. Schnick, schnick, schnick. All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Wherever you are listening on the multiverse, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. I am Jason, always loving our Dark Claw. I almost had Tex call in here. Inman.
You know, there was one point where I thought you were so worked up about the action figure that Tex might have called to straighten me out.
He might call in. Who knows?
Got to come to the extra for that, I guess. I've been Ashley Victoria Robinson, and Professor Dark Claw, would you please dismiss the class?
Class is dismissed, bub.